Alrighty. I always appreciate when the other teachers do a quick recap. So that's what I'm going to do. My message today consists of the same concepts are going along the same lines as my previous message, as far as searching out the peace of God in our lives and applying it to our lives and searching them things out by being in sense doers of the word. First off, I would like to thank Mike for being so gracious and kind to let me take his spot tonight because things didn't work out Sunday morning. We did want to try to figure out by the end of today's message if Mike was going to go next week so he didn't have to, you know, figure things out at the last minute, because I just talked to him about an hour and a half ago and he was so kind to let me go after he already had prepared his message. And also, before we get going, I wanted to make a point. I think it was a real interesting point. I was talking to Gary the other day, and he brought up the concept of how we are all uniquely different in our ways of learning. And so, the purpose of mentioning that is the best that I can do is bring forth the word as I have learned it and how I learn from it. And so it's so important, again, as I've heard so many of you men mention, of how much we need each other as far as the body of Christ is concerned to get all of our perspectives and all of our insights when it comes to the word, for it's so vast. As I was talking to Brother Jason earlier, one of the beautiful things about the word is that it's endless. You know, it never gets old because it's always unveiling new truths, and the mind of Christ is so superior to ours that, you know, it just seems like the more, and it doesn't seem like, I know it for a fact, that the more that I learn when it comes to the mind of Christ and the truths of Christ, the more I realize how little it is that I know when it comes to the full mind of Christ. And it's just, it's so beautiful. Please turn up your volume. Oh, okay. Thank you, Tony, for mentioning that. Alrighty, just a quick recap on a few of the few verses that I want to go into is first Philippians 4:9. Besides salvation verses, and I'll try to get this mic a little bit closer if that helps at all. Besides salvation verses, this is probably my top three favorite verse in the Bible for me personally. Philippians 4:9. Thank you, Tony. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, one thing, just quickly, briefly, before I continue, I look at this word as the mind of Christ, and the one thing that I like always mentioning is the whole Bible is red letter. The whole Bible are the words of our Lord and Savior. He just uses different vessels to bring forth His word. So when this, you know, when Paul states this, as far as those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you, these are the things that, you know, obviously as we all know, that Christ would have for us to do so that the God of peace shall be with us. And in Jason's messages, as far as what he's been teaching, we are to be doers of the word so that we can grow. And it's important to realize that we cannot earn our way to any degree when it comes to salvation. But when it comes to our growth after salvation, we need to be doers. We are His workmanship. We are created to be His workmanship. Alright, the very first verse quickly that we went over in the last lesson was the verse right before this, Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things honest, whatsoever things just, whatsoever things pure, whatsoever things lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The important concept that I learned recently by Barney sharing with me is this word to think upon or to think on is not only the concept of thinking, but we are to both let it dwell and rule over us. It is something that we need to stand fast in, to lock our minds down on. We need to not allow ourselves to be overwhelmed with the sadness and the sorrows of this world, but allow ourselves to be caught up in the joys and the lovely truths of what Christ has for in store for us. The next verse we looked over, can you guys, one quick last time, are you guys still being able to hear me? Okay? Decent? Can anybody? Okay, cool, all right, amen. Fantastic. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the response. All right. The next verse was Philippians 3:13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." We should read 14. "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, that word forgetting means to no longer care for. We are supposed to leave those things which are behind, unless I'm sure they fall in line with Philippians 4:8. If we think upon things in the past that are lovely, pure, of good rapport, of praise, of virtue, the Lord finds, I'm sure, you know, beauty in that. And surely the Lord gave us not the insight of being able to see in the future. So the one thing that this has taught me to bring a lot of peace in my life is that we are to live in the moment. We are to live in the here and now. We are to, it has just brought such great peace to my life when I grabbed a hold of that and realization that, of especially how much my mind can wander. And then I'm not living in the here and now, and I miss so many opportunities that the Lord has had in store for me. Philippians 4:6 was the next verse we went over, and that says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known unto God." 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, the important thing here is prayer. What a wonderful, beautiful thing when it comes to the peace of the Lord that He allows us to have communication with Him. Surely His communication to us is found through the Word, but we get to talk to Him as well, and that's just such a beautiful thing. And just a side note that I've always found to be such a peaceful, wonderful thing is that when it comes to prayer, there is never a time when I find myself to be more honest than when it comes to me praying to the Lord. For surely, He knows me better than I know myself. He knows my entire future, let alone my past and present. And so that honesty of being just absolutely honest brings so much peace to me in my life. One other thought, if you go with me to Colossians 3:13, and we're almost done with the review. Colossians 3:13, it says, and this is continuing on with the list of the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord would have for us, stemming from 12. It says in 13, "Forbearing one another," excuse me, "and forgiving one another. If any man have any a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Just a quick side note with that is when we don't forgive, who is the ones that really are hurt in that lack of forgiveness? It's never the one that we, maybe not never, I shouldn't say never, but it's usually not the one that we have not forgiven, but it's those that are dearest to us, those that we love and are very close to us. And ourselves included, and our Lord and Savior that has to pay the penalty of our lack of forgiveness. There was a couple other things that we had gone over, including the purpose of the heart. Is our purpose to serve the Lord and to serve others as the Lord would have for us, or is our purpose to serve ourselves? Singing. We are to sing psalms and praises and hymns unto Him in joy and in love. Surely the Lord doesn't care what our voice sounds like. He only cares that what our purpose is. Again, He's given us the ability to sing unto Him. And last but surely not least is the concept of studying. He gave us this good word so that we study it, to study His mind, to study what He would have for us. There is nothing that would bring any more peace to any one of us than when we get into the Word and we really let it absorb and soak it in and really just contemplate on His truths. It's just such a beautiful thing, as we all very well know, as the reason why we're all here. Alrighty, lesson today. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verses 14 and 15. Verse 15 will be the main concept of the lesson tonight, of searching out those that peace that the Lord has for us. But we need to read 14 as well to show the contrary. Verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. Thanks, Tony. You're always on it. You're a blessing, absolutely, brother. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now we see exact opposites here, and before we get into 15, which is one of my absolute favorite verses, we have to, I think, just do a quick search into 14 of what we need to look out for when it comes to this world as the body of Christ, to make sure that we continue in that peace that the Lord has in store for us. If you look for me it's on the same page, but at chapter 4 of Ephesians here, and we're going to look at verses 25 through 27 to give one aspect of the things I would say that we have to look out for. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God and created... I just needed to read 25 through 27. I apologize. Not that as though 24 is not important, but we'll start at 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, truth is truth, as I have come to find in my life. I think there's nothing more black and white, and surely we continue to grow in those truths and are continually reproved by... Sorry, folks. And are continually reproved by the truths of the Lord, by helping one another, by sharing truths one to another, and so forth, and so, you know, and such, but... It is important that we stand by truth. I thank God, maybe not every day, I don't want to lie, but almost every day, for my wife, especially in this regard. For she is one of the most honest people I have ever met. She stands by the truth in her life, whereas opposed to her husband, I tend to be an exaggerator from time to time. I'll go outside and I'll move something that maybe weighed 60 or 70 pounds, and I'll come inside and she'll ask me, you know, oh man, was that tough? And I was like, oh yeah, I probably weighed a good 120 or so, you know, but in all honesty, it was, you know, only 60 or 70. And anyway, the point is that, you know, I tend to exaggerate. And even though some of those things are fun at times, if especially you call yourself out in them, if you don't, geez, oh, Petey, I think we, you know, it's so easy to open the door to those little white lies. You know, it always starts with something, I usually see it, at least in my life, of starting with something small and growing. For we are always going in one direction or another. We're never in a standstill. We're either growing in the spirit or in the flesh. Or living in the spirit or after the flesh, growing in truth or growing in ways to continue to lie. And we need to stand by the truth. It's so incredibly important for us, no matter what the scenario or situation. Another concept that I wanted to look over is Ephesians 5:11. And this is in correlation to Ephesians 6:12, but we'll look at 5:11 first. what to watch. And this is in regards to, again, verse 14 of chapter 4, of what we need to watch out for to keep that peace of the Lord working in our life. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now, before I touch on that, I would like to, if we could, read chapter 6, verse 12 of the same book, because I think it completely correlates with that verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 correlates with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 in the concept where it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I'm sorry, Tony, I shouldn't have gone so fast. They were just verses right next to each other. That's why. But the important thing is we need to always keep in mind who our adversary is. Our adversary is not men and women. It is the darkness of this world. We do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we need to keep that in concept that we so that we always realize that who our adversary is, and it is a force much greater and needs to always be taken seriously. And the only way that we can fight it is by standing in the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think the beautiful thing is when it comes to the Lord is, I take nothing, I want to obviously say I take, you know, never want to say anything, you know, take anything away from our Father in heaven, but He chose in Colossians, you know, chapter 1, we see that in Christ should all fullness dwell. So that's why I always say, you know, our you know, Lord and Savior. You know, I just wanted to mention that. But we need to always keep that in realization. And we need to always realize that if we choose to not stand for the truth in our lives, we almost in sense are opening the door, as it said in chapter 4, verse 26, to neither give place to the devil. It's almost like it seems like to me, what I have learned is that when we choose to not stand for truth or to not live by this after the Spirit, we almost in sense open the door for Satan to work in our lives. And Timothy goes into that as well. But the point is, I don't know. I think Ron gave great insight in John there, in the book of John, as far as the limitations of Satan in our lives, especially after the cross. There was that verse there that had mentioned that. And obviously we have as the body of Christ the Holy Spirit residing within us. But there's no doubt that Paul shows us that Satan plays some kind of role if we so choose to have him coming into our lives by standing for things opposed to the truth. And so therefore we need to do our best to stand in the truth and stand fast for it. Alrighty, going back to chapter 4, verse 15, the main verse for tonight. Folks, I have never, I say never in a very respectful manner, because I don't like saying never or always, but I have not found a verse in the Bible that seems to be as, how is the best way to put it? Seems to be as clear as far as like the best answer for us in our lives as far as being doers of the word. And I only say that in the retrospect of this. We'll read it again. In chapter 4, verse 15 of Ephesians. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." The thing that triggered me when I finally started grabbing a hold of this verse, at least what I believe, is that concept that by speaking the truth in love, we have the ability to grow into the mind of Christ in all areas and avenues. And I think hopefully we will see by the end of, I surely don't take any, I want to make it clear that truth and love seem to be the foundation, the pinnacle foundations of what we are to stand on when it comes to Christ in our lives. And that's why it seems like to me the reason why this statement can, or why Christ makes a statement, or Christ through Paul makes a statement that we have the ability to grow in all things based upon speaking the truth in love. Now first I'd like to look at the truth. What is the truth? If we could go to John chapter 14 verse 6. Amen, brother. Thank you. I shouldn't say thank you. Thank you. Thank the Lord absolutely for His truths. It's just such a beautiful thing when we can attach our minds and hearts and spirits to Him. If we could go to John chapter 14 verse 6 to talk about the truth. What is the truth? It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who is the truth? The truth is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this whole Bible is the red letter. And we need to stand before I state that, we should always back it up with Scripture. I love how Brother Barney and Jason and all you teachers, Mikey and Ronnie and everybody, Tony and Chip and all you guys, how you all, and if I missed anybody off the, Bob, everybody. Everybody wants to go in this group, wants to go to Scripture to back things up, and that's such a blessing to have a group like that. John chapter 1, verse 14. It says in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the truth? The truth is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And where do we find Him? We find Him in the Word of God. So therefore, anything in this Word is the truth, and that is all we need to stand for in our lives. No matter how simple or complex, and the beautiful thing is it continues to grow in us day by day if we so choose to have it. And so all I believe the Lord would have for us is to purpose in our hearts, and purpose in ourselves to stand for the truth. And as we continue to do that, that is what He would ask for us. And surely He understands our ignorance as far as our feeble minds as opposed to Him, is in reference to knowing the full truth of every circumstance, that we are fulfilling the Father's will by just standing for the truth to the very best of our abilities. And all I can say, folks, is as I've continued to do that in my life, there is very little that has brought more peace to my heart and my soul and my family and everyone around me, and especially myself. And it's just such a wonderful feeling. Philemon 1:6 has been for, you know, and I say only for me, because all I can do is again, like I had mentioned in the beginning, show you how, you know, how things have touched me and how I've learned. But in Philemon 1:6 has been the best way that the Lord has taught me of how to bring forth the truth, as far as it being a peaceful way of bringing it forth. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. It says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, what I have gotten from this is the word communication can be otherwise found in the Greek as fellowship. And the word effectual can be known as to be put into action. So our fellowship, or our communication with one another and with the world, needs to be put into action by the acknowledging of that everything that is good of us has come from Christ Jesus. And in sense of doing that, what it has done, and I liked how Jason said it, so I'm going to say it exactly how he said it, is it, instead of condemning others or judging others, it is the easiest, most peaceful way of putting it on ourselves. when somebody comes to you with a problem or a situation or a scenario, if we share with them what the Lord has done in our lives to the best of our degree of either something in reference to the, you know, the same scenario, or if we've dealt with the same exact scenario one way or another, of sharing what Christ has done in our lives to help us to get through those situations. And when we do that, that brings forth that state of meekness and humbleness and shows the other that you're not pointing the finger at them. For surely you have been there and continue to be there. But thank the Lord Almighty that maybe you've gotten yourself out of it, or you've had another brother or sister in Christ help to recover you out of it. And that, you know, it's just such a blessing. And I, like I said, that has been, for me at least, the best way that I have learned of how to bring forth the truth to the world with it, and it being a peaceful way of going about it. Going to the next step of Ephesians 4:15, we're going to look at the concept of love. The first verse we're going to look at is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Give me one second, Paul. Alrighty. Philippians 1, verse 9. Paul says here, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Now the important things here is first, and it's such a beautiful thing, I thank the Lord first to then thank Barney, then to then thank Jason, to then, you know, have Jason pass it on to me that I have that Bible Works program for, man, that makes your studying so much more effective as far as finding the Greek understandings for this. But that word judgment means discernment. And I only use that because we just talked about, you know, the concept of judgment and how crucial it is that we realize that we are not here to judge, but, you know, to any degree. But anyway, the main point of this, of verse chapter 1, verse 9, is this shows us, just like truth, that we can continue to grow in the love of Christ yet more and more. And this is, by the way, the chapter 4, verse 15 of Ephesians, I should have mentioned, it's an important point, that word love is that same, I believe it's agape, but it's the love of Christ. And this is the love of Christ. And, but nonetheless, the important thing that we start off with here is that we see that, just like truth, we can grow in love more and more. Amen. That's beautiful, Tony. Alrighty. Next, we need to go to the love chapter. It seems to be the best place I've found as far as the explanation of love. Chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we will start with verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Alrighty, it says, and we'll take this step by step, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now the important thing is, first off, is that we need to see that word charity is the same exact word as the love of Christ. It is love. The same definition, I should say, is as far as the same root in the Greek there. But what this tells me, at least, is that without love in my speech, my words are nothing but an irritation to the ears. I don't know how to better put it. I mean, obviously the word puts it much better, but that's what it tells me, that without love, we are nothing but a bothersome or an annoyance or an irritation to both the world and ourselves and each other if we don't have love as well as truth in our speech. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or have not love, I am nothing. This tells me that love shows, this verse shows us, I believe, that love is needed as much as truth. It seems to be either 100% or nothing. Either you tell the truth or you lie. Either you have the love of Christ working in your heart, and we'll go into further definitions here, but or you have love, have not love. And if you don't have love, you can have everything. You can have all faith and all knowledge and understand all mysteries. And I love when the Lord puts it so bluntly. Without love, I am nothing. It is of no profit to the Lord whatsoever. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, if it's okay, folks, I'm just going to say love, it profiteth me nothing. What this verse tells me is that we can literally be a living sacrifice. We can give everything we have, and we can be a living sacrifice. And if it isn't done in love, it is of zero profit to the Lord and zero profit to ourselves. Now, if you want to talk about the lack of peace in our lives, there's nothing that I think would bring more than the concept of giving yourself to being a living sacrifice, such as it states in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 there. And then to come to find out, you know, in the day of eternity that it wasn't done out of, you know, love, so therefore it would be a work of wood, hay, or stubble in a sense. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. The best thing I can say when it comes to this verse is pride seems to be one of the core roots of evil for our lives. You know, surely the love of money, it says in Timothy there, is the root of all evil, but I would say that pride is right there next to it. And pride and love are completely contrary one to another. At least that's one main concept that this verse is telling me. That when it comes to love, it's the exact opposite of prideful. Verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. As my brother Jason would say, when I think of this verse, love is selfless. When we truly love, when we have the love of Christ working in our hearts and in our through us, it is the exact opposite of being for ourselves. It is for our Lord and Savior, and it is for others. It is selfless. Just as it states here, it seeketh not her own. Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Love and truth are like, you know, like Forrest Gump says, peas and carrots. It rejoices in truth. Love needs truth, and truth needs love. They are a pair, and when they are paired together, it's almost like that verse: if God be for us, who can be against us? When we are using them both, there is no more powerful thing that we could possibly use when it comes to our arsenal of for the Lord in our lives than to speak the truth in love. In verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, will end it with charity or love, never faileth. What that tells me there, folks, is that love is no walk in the park. When they talk about tough love, that's what it is. But as we will see coming up here, we shall reap if we faint not. We need to to stand in the concepts of love. When it comes to love, think about it. I like to think about it like this. When we think about the ones that have loved us the most in our lives, those are the ones that have truly been there for us. Especially, I like saying, I take nothing away from every other time, but especially when times are tough. That is truly when we see those who truly love us, because they are there for us. They stand there for us. They are not, they beareth our infirmities. They are our, you know, they are there for us. If we go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, this is a statement we see throughout. We see it throughout the Word, but it's just one of those statements that I think most of the world has heard. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse, did I say 13? I meant 13. No, I didn't. I'm sorry, folks. 14. Chapter 5, verse 14 of Galatians. It says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." If you would go to, before I touch on that, go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, I did a little study with Jason on this, and he had come to find that when it talks about, you know, the law of Christ, or when it comes to Christ, in sense that is the finished work of Christ. So, surely we can see that, or at least I believe in my heart that we, you know, that this is the truth. That Galatians chapter 5 verse 14 and Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, when it says shall fulfill the law, that is talking about the same thing. For surely in 5:14 that is the law of God that shall be fulfilled if we love one another. And in 6:2 here it says, by bearing one another's burdens we will fulfill the law. So the reason why I bring that up is that when it comes to true love, in that word bear, by the way, I should say this. The word bear means to take up. And the burdens means, our burdens means troubles. When we take up and we bear one another's troubles or burdens, when one is down or one has fallen to the wayside, as we all do, for we are all still in this fleshly body, and we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that is the beauty of Him giving us each other, as well as His Word, as well as prayer, and all of the other beauties, beautiful blessings He gives us, that we can be there for each other and stand for each other. And when you truly stand for one another and you're there for one another, oh my goodness, the amount of peace that comes in your heart and in your soul, it is just so beautiful to be able to say that I stood for the Lord and I stood for my wife or my friend or even my neighbor, my enemy, whoever it may be. I stood for the truth and love, and I was there for them. I was there for them through thick or thin. Now we need to always realize and always keep in our minds the verse before this. It says, "Ye who are spiritual," in chapter 6, verse 1, "Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Surely, folks, that tells me that we need to always keep in mind, as far as our limitations, if we see ourselves being drugged down too much, that we're not no longer, you know, helping the other to recover out of the snare of the devil, that or whatever you may say, recover themselves from what, you know, from their burden. If we are being drugged down as well, that will be of no benefit to either you, your loved ones, or that person. And you need to, you know, just keep that in mind, is all I'm saying. You know, just keep in mind our limitations. Um, again, this shows us that same concept is that love is selfless. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. This has been one of the most effective ways that I have found when it, as far as how Christ has shown me of standing for the truth in love. It says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, Let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. When we are, I believe, truly there for another, and we are speaking the truth in love, we need to be focused on who it is that we're dealing with. For we are all uniquely different in our own ways. We have all grown up in different lives. We are all genetically different, naturally, you know, and nature-wise different and nurture-wise different. And so therefore it is important to know, are you dealing with someone who is feeble-minded or unruly? Somebody who is maybe a little too prideful, you know, such as that is probably one of my greatest weaknesses. That I thank the Lord for my wife as well, for she'll put me in my place in a heartbeat when I get myself caught up in stating, you know, something along the lines of stating those always or never points, you know. But the important thing is that we need to keep in mind who we're dealing with so that we can answer them to the very best of our ability with truth and love. And so that we can incense our, the end result, be the best servants of Christ that we can possibly be. Which equals true, the true peace of God. When we stand for Christ and we stand in Christ and we yearn in our hearts and our minds and our souls to be servants of our Lord and Savior and of our God and Father, we will truly have that peace in that in our hearts and our and there is nothing that Satan or this world that could possibly do to take that away from us. It is so powerful, and I know that you all have felt that over and over again in your lives. And that is why, again, we are all here, because of that peace that the Lord, and that love and that joy that the Lord brings to us in our hearts. It is such a beautiful thing. And that's why I love Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 will be the final verse we look at. I'll read it one last time. For today, anyway. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. When it comes to after our salvation, we cannot earn our place when it comes to our position, our eternal position. But when it comes to our condition, with the rest of the time that we have left on this earth after salvation, we need to be doers of the Word. And we need to be doers of the Word by both speaking the truth and by presenting it in love, in the love of Christ. And by doing that, the peace of God will be with us and will abound in our hearts and will continue to grow, just as He promises with everything else that will continue to grow when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. And it is such a blessing that He has brought me with you folks, for we need to be there for one another. For the world doesn't seem to, and this is not an important point, but the world doesn't has seemed to lost that search or that yearn in their hearts when it comes to, you know, searching out the truths of the Lord. And it's so important now more than ever that we continue to stand in those truths and we continue to unite ourselves together with those truths. Because as long as we unite ourselves together in the Lord, it matters not what happens as far as the world around us. For we will be safe in His arms and safe and secure in His arms. In His, I don't know the best word to say, in His Spirit, in the Holy Spirit which resides in us. Alrighty, I will close in a word. A word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart for every opportunity that you allow me to share your truths. Father, I hope and pray as always that you help me to do the very best I can to bring forth your truths and your truths alone. For you are the truth, Father. You are the only way for us in our lives. Father, I thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for their kindness, for their diligence of seeking out your truths, to have such close companions to be able to bond with when it comes to not feeling alone when it comes to these truths, and to be able to be with one another. Father, I pray that the truth that I may have shared tonight may be edifying, the truth, your truths may be edifying and have edified both myself as well as others. Father, I thank you for all your endless blessings and all your mercy, grace, and love. I pray all these things in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's most precious name. Amen. Thanks, guys.